is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Tough conversations help you continue to grow as a team and help you to build real lifelong relationships. And those things are very important to the chemistry of a team.
Kyle Pennington just took over as the boys basketball head coach at Little Rock Christian Academy in Arkansas. Kyle spent the past four seasons as the head coach at Russellville High School, where he posted an overall record of 85-27, including a 50-5 record in the 5A West Conference. At Russellville, he was a four-time Conference Coach of the Year, and his teams won the conference championship all 4 years, with two Elite Eight finishes in the state tournament. Kyle also was selected to coach in the Arkansas Activities Association All-Star Game. At Russellville, Kyle coached three Conference Players of the Year, 11 All-State selections, and four current college basketball players. Hey, Hoopheads, transform your training this May with our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Get $1,000 off any commercial machine in the month of May. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
This is Eric Gabriel, men's assistant basketball coach at High Point University, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improve communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. If you're looking to improve your coaching, please consider joining the Hoopheads Mentorship Program. We believe that having a mentor is the best way to maximize your potential and become a transformational coach. By matching you up with one of our experienced mentors, you'll develop a one-on-one relationship that will help your coaching, your team, your program, and your mindset. The Hoopheads Mentorship Program delivers mentoring services to basketball coaches at all levels through our team of experienced head coaches. Find out more at hoopheadspod.com or shoot me an email directly, mike@hoopheadspod.com. Follow us on social media at hoopheadspod on Twitter and Instagram, and be sure to check out the Hoopheads Podcast Network for more great basketball content. Coach, do you have a point guard or leader you're going to be counting on next season to run the show for you? Don't leave their success and your team's success to chance, or you may end up disappointed. Thousands of coaches send their players to a point guard college camp each year so they can discover how to think the game, lead your team, and run the show. They'll send them back to you a smarter player, a better leader, and better equipped to foster a championship culture next season in practice and in the locker room. You can go to pgcbasketball.com to find a camp near you. Grab your notebook before you listen to this episode with Kyle Pennington, head boys basketball coach at Little Rock Christian Academy in the state of Arkansas. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here without my co-host Jason Sunkel tonight, but I am pleased to be joined by Kyle Pennington, the brand new head coach at Little Rock Christian, back for his second tour of duty on the podcast, almost 3 years to the day from his first appearance. Kyle, welcome back.
I appreciate you having me on again, and crazy. Three years almost to the day, but excited to be with you tonight.
Definitely does not feel like it's been 3 years since that first episode, but since that took place, you had a lot going on, and you built the program at Russellville in the state of Arkansas into a winning program, a program that I'm sure as you left it to go to Little Rock Christian, you were very proud of what you were able to accomplish. So let's start there. Kind of give us a quick synopsis of your 4 years at Russellville how you had success, what it took to have success there. And then as we move forward, we'll dive into the opportunity at Little Rock Christian.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, I think 4 years in Russellville, and, you know, again, we had that first interview after that first year, and so much goes into that. And I would, you know, any young coaches or any coaches continuing to learn to go listen to that first one, just because so much there of, you know, that was my first year as a head coach, period. You know, worked for some really good guys, but there's nothing like experience. And that was a great experience. And then the next 3 years, great experience. You know, Johnny Johnson, the AD there, believed in a young assistant coach and gave me my start there, and very grateful for that. But yeah, we had quite a bit of success, and you know, that was built with players and built with relationships with players ultimately, you know. And there in Russellville, you know, for 4 years, won four conference championships, and you know, had 11 all-state selections, and got four current guys playing college basketball. Donye May is a kid that just signed with Connor State JUCO, and so JUCO over in Oklahoma, and you know, he's a guy that's going to have a good career, and just really excited that I was there to be a part of the growth of that program. And, you know, always been taught to leave things better than you find them, and definitely believe that we did that for sure.
When the opportunity at Little Rock Christian comes your way, when you start thinking about that chance to go and take a new job, was that something that you were actively looking for an opportunity? Was that something that just because of what Little Rock Christian can be in your mind, that it was intriguing? Just talk about your initial response to that opportunity.
Yeah. You know, I think this is going to sound cliche, but I just try to be really, really good in the moment. Try to be really good wherever my feet are planted. And that's another thing that my father taught me. And, you know, I wouldn't say that I, you know, planned to go to Little Rock Christian. It just kind of happened organically. And, you know, but obviously when the opportunity came about, you know, it was a no-brainer for me and my family, my wife Caitlin, and my little boy Harrison will be 6 in October, and my little daughter Arlie will be 3 in June. So crazy how much since the first time we talked.
Exactly.
The family has grown. But, you know, it was definitely an intriguing opportunity once it came about.
Does somebody call you about it? Do you hear about the opening through the coaching grapevine? How do you get wind that the job's going to be open?
Yeah, so it was a pretty, it was a known fact in the state of Arkansas, really all year, this basketball season, that the previous coach was going to retire. He had a really great career, at a few different schools in the state of Arkansas. And so people knew that he was going to retire. It was his last year. And so it was definitely known throughout the state. And, you know, I think they interviewed, you know, over 30 people for the job throughout the year. And, you know, it was a thing for me that I didn't speak to anybody at Little Rock Christian until after the season was over. It's just my style of doing things. I don't think that's, you know, I'm not a guy out here, you know, again, seeking the next job or anything like that. I think it's just important to be where you're at. And, you know, I'm a man of faith, and I believe God has a role in that, about, you know, where my family needs to be. And so, you know, it was a, once it came up, you know, I've talked with, Johnny Watson, the athletic director at Little Rock Christian, and, drove down and met him at night, you know, in kind of a, respectful way for both of us, you know, that, we can, you know, we can meet, you know, at night and just talk about this job and see if there's mutual interest. And, from there, went to a formal interview and, with Coach Watson and the head of school, Dr. Gary Arnold. And so, you know, I think it's just a situation that it came about pretty quickly, for me. And so, obviously was excited. And once I talked with Coach Watson and Dr. Arnold and got a feel for, what they wanted out of the program, what they wanted the program, to be within the school and then, you know, the school itself and the culture of the school and what I believe we can do with this program. And so, obviously, from there took the job and have been on the job here for, over a month and, just excited about where we're headed.
What were some of the things that you wanted to ask them or questions that you had about Little Rock Christian and kind of where their philosophy was, where their head was when it came to building the type of high school basketball program that you wanted to be a part of, that you wanted to lead?
Yeah, I think, you know, just really more conversation and getting to know them as people, and getting to know Coach Watson. And I think when you're going to work for somebody and work closely with somebody, you obviously want to get along with that person and have mutual respect. And definitely felt that in our conversations. He was very open with me and, you know, kept me in the loop on things. And then I think too is just, you know, there's a few things within a basketball program, you know, obviously, you know, the kids that are in the school, you know, that play basketball, what, you know, what's the program currently look like? Where do they want the program to be in 5 years? And then, you know, just that part for me is, you know, so what are their expectations? I think it's very, it's a good idea to have clear expectations up front, but to understand those on both sides. And so, again, all those things kind of worked out for us and, it's kind of the way it went.
Before we go forward at Little Rock Christian, let's go backwards to Russellville. When you take the job, you obviously have to go back and have a conversation with the Russellville community, with your players. What was that like? What was your process for meeting with the players, talking to them, explaining the move that you were about to make, and just emotionally, what was that like for you?
Yeah, I think everybody does that differently. And for me, it was a very emotional time for sure. Again, with it being my first, head coaching position and the way that we, kind of got the program rolling. Again, you know, you win 85 games in 4 years, with some really great players and some great people to be around that you're working with as well. You know, I think that it'd be crazy not to be emotional. And so, you know, the night before telling my team, you know, I didn't sleep real well. And then leading up to that moment and, you know, I just had a raw moment with my team, you know, is the only way to say it. And told them that, you know, that we were heading to – our family was heading to Little Rock and – you know, it wasn't a 15-minute deal. You know, I sat with them, and there were tears and there were hugs and those things. And these are guys that I will continue to have a relationship with the rest of my life. And, you know, that's my philosophy is building relationships with people, you know, and being very intentional that they know that you care about them. And so that moment was about those guys. That's what that moment was about. So, you know, it was definitely an emotional and a hard moment to have, but, it was needed. And, you know, I know those guys respect it for that.
What were the conversations like with your wife leading up to the decision to take the job? Because obviously there's more than just let's take the job. There's moving the family, getting into a whole different environment. You're going from a public school setting to a private school setting. So talk a little bit about what your conversation sounded like with your wife.
Yeah, you know, obviously the wife's in charge, right? Happy wife, happy life.
Absolutely.
And so I think it was very important that, you know, that I got her down there, you know, after that initial interview with Coach Watson that she came down the next time and toured the school and the facilities and you know, if for, you know, Harrison, our little boys going into kindergarten. So it was important for her to see that and feel like it was a fit for our family. You know, so and she was excited, and that was a good thing, you know. And kind of the funny part is, you know, I was off doing an interview, and she was with someone else, kind of touring and looking through the school and you know, meeting with people. And so when we finally got back together, you know, I could see it in her face. You know, she didn't have to say a word. You know, her eyes lit up, and that was a good feeling, right? And again, that's a God thing to me. I feel like, you know, we both knew, you know, as soon as we saw each other again, that this was going to be a great opportunity for our family, and that these guys and this team, this program, that it was a great fit for me as a coach.
Where are you on the moving process?
Yeah, so I am. We are right in the thick of it. We close on our house in Russellville next Friday, and then you know, with the market the way it is, I'm not sure how it is up there, but here in Arkansas, it's a good time to sell. It's a tough time to buy, and so we have secured a house in Little Rock, and we close about 20 days later than closing on the first house, the house that we're selling in Russellville. And so, you know, not bad of a gap really in this market, to be honest. So, got some lining up the movers and lined up some storage space for those 20 days, and then we'll move it into the new house and get, you know, by mid-June, we will get completely settled. And so I have an aunt and uncle that live here in Little Rock that have been gracious enough to let me stay with them through the week. And then on the weekends, I go back to Russellville and try to help the wife pack and play Mr. Mom for a little while. So,
yeah, it's just taking a new job, right? There's no other complications that go along with it, right, Kyle?
That's exactly right, you know, and that's why, you know, these questions, I love how, you know, just kind of raw you're getting with them, because I think it's important for, you know, for others to know. You know, I think a lot of people think, hey, you get a new job, there's this flashy thing, and it is, it's great. You know, we'll get into all that, but the, you know, this side of it, you know, you've definitely got some things that, you know, here for a month. The thing I keep telling my wife is, you know, anytime it's like this, is we know it's the right decision, and it won't be like this part for long, you know, and it's only gonna make us stronger for sure.
Sometimes it's hard to see that in the moment, but that's 100% right. It's sometimes difficult to see it as you're going through and packing up and moving, and anybody who's moved at all, especially when you have kids, the amount of stuff that you got to pack up and move and yet still have access to and all that. It's just, I remember those days. I remember those days well. I moved when, let's see, my daughter was probably 2 and my son was about 4 months. So I can definitely relate to trying to get everything packed up and just, yeah, it's a lot of work, a lot more than I think sometimes people who haven't done it perceive from the outside. So kudos to you for getting that done.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So let's jump ahead now to Little Rock Christian. You get the job. Who are some of the first people, stakeholders that you feel like you've got to talk to in order to get a handle on where the program is so you can start to figure out and formulate what you want to do and what you need to do in order to build the program and you want it to be. So who are those conversations?
Yeah. So the coaches that are on staff, already within the program, that was other than the athletic director and the head of school and those people, the coaches on staff, it was very important that I meet with them and tried to meet with them immediately. Got down to Little Rock Christian and they had I met the players and met the coaches briefly. But then I just, I wanted to meet with the assistants and the junior high coaches immediately and just kind of get their feel for where the program's at, where they want to see it go, and how we can do that together, and if they see themselves continuing to be a part of that. And so that was important. And where, then my point from there is being very intentional about where these guys sit on this bus. What seat are they in moving forward? And so I think those conversations really helped me with that, and speaking to each of those guys and helped see where the program was at. And then immediately after that was having one-on-ones with the players and just kind of seeing where they're at personally. Building relationships with people is the most important part of this. And anybody that tells you differently, maybe they can do it that way. But this is our way of doing it. And so, just meeting with those guys and what were things that they've, how do they feel? Where are they at right now as a basketball player, but where are they at as a person? And trying to help guide them forward. And so those were the conversations that were had, in the first week to week and a half.
What were some of the insights that you took away from your conversations first with the coaches and then from the players? So you can either lump those together into one answer, or maybe you came away with some different insights from the coaches than from the players, or vice versa.
Yeah. So, I think just overall, that this program wasn't in dire straits. Coach Finley, the guy that was here before, has done a heck of a job throughout his career, has won state titles here in the state of Arkansas. And, but just different things that each coach shared that they think within the program that's been done really well, and then things they'd like to see. And I think that those, some of those conversations, I think, are you just want to make sure, they understand that that they feel valued with me as the head coach. I want to make sure those guys know that I value each of their opinions and what they bring to the table. And then, with the players too, obviously, different styles of play or how they, how they see themselves continuing to grow as a player, within the program. And, I had players ask me questions, why are you here? And how do you play? What's your philosophy? And so it was a good first, week and a half to 10 days of just having conversations with those people, and you know, it's something that you can't get back. And I think that's why it's very important to do it early. And it's raw, it's in the moment. You're going to get everybody's emotions, and that's important, because I think you want to, again, let them know that, hey, we're here to get this thing rolling, and we're going to do that with you. And so they were good conversations for sure.
Did you end up bringing back most of the staff, or where are you in that process?
Yeah, so I did bring back most of the staff. I shuffled around a little bit of where they were. You know, I had a Corliss Williamson who played college basketball for the Razorbacks and won a national title, and then played in the NBA for various teams. He is a volunteer assistant with us. He does a heck of a job. He is very detail oriented with the players, and so, you know, speaking with him and seeing where, you know, the things that he brought to the table for us, which is so much. It's invaluable, all the things he can bring to the table. Coached in the NBA, and so he was already on staff as a volunteer assistant, and I thought it was great to keep him, you know, keep him at the high school level in that seat. Coach Leonard Blocker is a guy that he was the eighth grade coach, and he was just at the lower level. He did not coach on the high school level, and so he's good with player development. He's got two sons that are highly recruited basketball players. One will be a senior this year. He's actually at Sunrise Christian. And he's got three sons, excuse me, but two that are older and one that's quite younger. But the two older ones, the senior, Layden, is at Sunrise Christian. And then Landrin is a junior for us at Little Rock Christian. And so, you know, he has really developed them as players. And so I really thought it was valuable that he could help do that, for all of our players. And, you know, I think it's important, to see him, you know, do that. And he dips down to the elementary ages and works with them, with his younger son Langston and some other kids within the school. And so, we kept him on, but he is the head seventh grade coach, which is the first coach that's actually within our program. So he sees the kids first. And, again, with player development, I just thought, you know, being very intentional with that, I think that's a great spot. And then he's also, assistant coach with me at the high school. And so he's involved with us, on the day to day, with our high school program and what we do and what we implement. And so, you know, another guy that's very valuable to us, David Torres, is a coach who has a ton of experience, you know, 37, 38 years of coaching in the state of Arkansas. He's, you know, an older coach, but he has a ton of energy and ton of positive energy that he brings to the table. And so I thought he was important. He was a guy that was the head ninth grade coach, the head junior high coach here in Arkansas. Ninth grade is like the head junior high. And so I actually moved him up to be an assistant at the high school. I think he's a guy that just brings a lot of wisdom. And again, just being very intentional with our coaching staff and where they're at with us in each seat. And so, very, very happy to have, Coach Torres, up there with us and, you know, in that seat. And so, And then Andrew Counts, Coach Counts, was the seventh grade coach previously, and he's moved up and he's coaching the junior high now. So he's coaching eighth and ninth grade basketball, and a younger coach, you know, a few years of experience. But man, just he's a sponge. He's just soaking up anything and everything from all the coaches, and you know, watches lots of film, and is just a, you can tell that he is wanting to continue to learn and continue to get better. And so he's going to be a heck of a coach as well. So, you know, very excited about our staff and the spots that we have them in. I think that it's going to be very good for our kids. I think that they're going to best serve our kids at Little Rock Christian. And that's the main point of being very intentional, is how can we best serve the student athletes at Little Rock Christian. And so, you know, with our staff, with where they're at, again, with their seat on the bus, I think that I think we're headed in the right direction for sure.
Once you have those guys in place and you solidify that they know their role, you know they're going to be a part of the program moving forward, what, from a standpoint of thinking about building the program into what you want it to be, what's the first step or two that you took after you looked and sort of surveyed the landscape? What were the first one or two things once you had the staff in place that you started to focus on?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you asked that question, because the first question that I asked our staff was what were the first three things that needed to be addressed or done? What are the most three important aspects that to get this program rolling? And so obviously got some answers, different answers, and got some that were the same. And so for me, it's a few things, you know. Off the floor, number one is that we build meaningful relationships with everybody involved in our program. You know, obviously the players are who we're centered around. We want to be a player-centered program. So we're centering around those players and how we can help develop them on and off the floor. Obviously building relationships with them, building relationships within our coaching staff. And then building relationships with everybody involved. And that's the parents as well. You know, I think, in today's, day and age, if you think you can just, you know, that's not a part of your program, then you're crazy. You know, I think it's very important, that parents feel involved and want to be involved. And, you know, we all have a role within this program. And so, you know, once people feel like they can trust you with their kids, that's a very important step in a program to getting everybody on the same page. And so, again, number one, I feel like, is just building those relationships with everybody within the program. And then, you know, two, we've got to be very proactive with what we do. And not be reactive. I think the people that are the best at what they do, no matter what they do, if it's the business world, if it's, you know, the NBA, if it's anything that you're doing, learn to be proactive in decision making. Learn to be proactive in moving forward with a program instead of trying to react to everything. And so, setting our expectations with our players and our coaches and what we want to be about, and, you know, beginning to work what that's going to look like each day. And, you know, in the last two or three weeks, I really feel like our team's grown a ton on the floor and the way we're wanting to play offensively and defensively. But, you know, that takes a lot of time. I'm a guy that's, you know, I'm a Jay Wright Villanova guy, with offense and how we're going to play and mix in a little NBA, with that, with the five wide, stuff. And so, When you're going to play that way, there's a lot of breakdown to it. There's a lot of work, a lot of footwork, you know, lots of shot fakes, lots of jabs, lots of 2-foot finish, and that's a lot of breakdown drills. But everybody knows you got to play this game too. So, I think it's very important that they get time where we're playing 4-on-4 or 5-on-5 as well. And so, Rome wasn't built in a day, but each day we just want to take a step forward. I think it's very important that we keep an eye on the process and take a step forward each day. And so, you know, that's the things that we're working on right now for sure.
Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
How much time have you spent, did you spend, watching film of your players from last year to get a feel of kind of what you had coming back from a talent standpoint? And then obviously when you're out on the floor with them and you're working on the things that you just talked about, you're getting to see them firsthand. So how have you kind of looked at, hey, what do we have here on the roster in terms of how we're going to play, what the philosophy is going to be moving forward based on the roster construction, what your kids can and can't do? How much have you watched film, and then how much are you kind of using your judgment as you're seeing them, as you're getting them more on the floor?
Right. Watched film from day one, still watching film, you know, watched full game film. We have huddle and huddle assist, and we have the huddle focus camera. So got lots of resources to watch the film. And so then here lately, this last about week and a half, I've been breaking down each player's, you know, shots, with the huddle assist, and, you know, where they've shot the ball well from, watching the film and then looking at the shot chart, and then where they maybe struggled a little bit. And then two, you know, assists and steals and turnovers, and, you know, you can basically look at any stat you want to. And so, just trying to get a feel for each player, breaking down those stats. And then, again, now that we're on the floor, you know, seeing where they're at, right now. And, again, there's room for growth, and we're in early May here. And so, yes, I'm getting a feel for each player, but, I think you also, it's important that they know you have a vision for them. Not just as a team, but individually. You got guys that want to continue to play college basketball. You got guys that, you know, want to win a state championship in high school basketball, or want to be a successful part, want to grow, want to move on from playing JV to playing varsity. You know, everybody has their own goals and aspirations. And so, you know, for me, it's, you know, let's align this vision, for each player, to better our team, but also let's better these guys individually. And so, you know, that's, we've got time here, you know, in May, June, and July to continue to grow as a team, and for these guys to grow individually.
At Russellville, how did you get those goals and aspirations for the players to fit in with the goals and aspirations that you have for the team? Because obviously, when your players get better and are striving to be the best they can be, that can be good for your team. But occasionally, players can have goals that maybe aren't realistic, or maybe they just don't mesh quite as well with sort of the vision that you have for the team. So when you're having conversations with players about, I want to move up from JV to be a varsity starter, and maybe it's a kid who that's at this point in their career, that's not realistic for them. So just what are those conversations like where you want to help your players grow, you want them to be striving to get better and to have goals on an individual level, but yet ultimately you want the individual to fit in with the team vision that you have. So how do you balance those two?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I think that's a work in progress, you know, and teaching each kid that it is a process. This isn't just something we say. You know, we're just trying to take a step forward each day. And, you know, if these are your goals, there's certain ways to get there. You know, if you're just practicing when you come in the gym to practice with our team, and you don't spend extra time on your own or with a trainer or, you know, on your summer team, you know, I think it's, you know, that's the first conversation is how much time are you spending to get better at this game. And so, you know, that's a big piece of it. And then, you know, I think it's important to be upfront and be truthful with players, about where they're at. But also again, know that they need to know you believe in them and that you can help them grow to where they want to go, as long as they're willing to put in that work. And so, that's things we've done in the past. And then, you know, just having a growth mindset, you know, are you getting one step better each day? And do you see the positive outlook? And, there's so much to that. Not only in this game of basketball, but in life is, you know, do you have a growth mindset or do you have a fixed mindset? And we want to have a growth mindset in everything we do. And you know, we want to model the traits that we want to see out of our team. You know, all the coaches, we want to model the traits that we want to see out of the individuals and out of the team and then reinforce those. You know, there's a huge part of winning is just becoming a true team. A huge part is sacrificing, you know, sacrificing sometimes your, personal wants and needs for the betterment of the team. And so, again, individual skill work and things to get guys better individually to attain their goals, to play at the next level. And then at times as a team, what is best for this team to win? And, you know, I think that's an important part of winning and for the coaches side as well is, you know, we got to make sure that everybody's on the same page. And so, you know, we've had some tough conversations in the past and conversations that I call heart-to-heart conversations where, you know, teams in a locker room are sharing what they think is within this team is going well and things that we need to get better at. And I think those tough conversations help you continue to grow as a team and help you to build, you know, real – lifelong relationships. And, you know, those things are very important, to the chemistry of a team. And then, you know, I think trusting your people and that comes with time and, coaches trusting coaches, coaches trusting players and then players coaching, trusting the coaches and then players trusting each other, you know, and so, believing in each other. You know, do you believe in the vision that's set before you? Do you believe, you know, believe in yourself, believe in your coaches, and believe in your teammates, and great things are going to happen. That's what we've said a ton, and I believe those things. And if we can continue to do that, then we're going to be successful.
How long did it take you at Russellville to build up that kind of trust and those types of relationships where when you were having the types of conversations like you're talking about, when you're in the locker room or in a meeting room or watching film, where you can have those honest conversations and kids are really opening up and sharing things about themselves, making themselves vulnerable? Because we all know that if you are a player or a coach for that matter, and you haven't been in that kind of environment, that the first time a question or a conversation like that comes up, there's a lot of people looking out of the side of their eyes at each other going, well, I'm not going to say anything. Are you going to say anything? What are we going to do? How long does it take for you to kind of get your team used to the way you want them to communicate?
Yeah, I don't think there's any set time, but I'll tell you this, it takes quite a while. You know, I don't think my first year at Russellville, it took almost the whole year. You know, we got to second semester before those conversations were being had. And once they were, you know, we took off because, again, there's trust in that locker room. It takes time for sure. And each team, it takes a different amount of time. And, you know, I think not to force that as well. You know, I think they got to trust you, but, part of that is everybody's been through something. Everybody has something they can share or bring to the table and help somebody else. And I think that starts with the coaches, you know. You know, this coaching staff that we have here at Little Rock Christian, you know, there's each of them can reach kids in a way that is very powerful just by sharing a time where adversity hit them, you know, or, you know, whatever that adversity might be, you know, whether it was as a player or a coach or whatever. And, you know, sharing that we're real people. You know, and I think, again, building relationships with people, you know, if I've said that once, I've said it 100 times on this podcast, but, it's true. It's what I believe in. And I think it's what, leads to the ultimate success.
What's a story that you shared from your personal life with your players at Little Rock Christian to do exactly what you just said, to help them to see you as a well-rounded human being and not just as their coach, and to sort of model for them what you hope and expect will be their form of communication?
Yeah. So, you know, I haven't shared a ton yet with Little Rock Christian players, but what I've got is I've got pictures on my desks, and those pictures all have a deep meaning, and there's a bunch of different pictures, and I'll give you one example. Is there's a picture of a little house that my dad and his 5 siblings. My dad's 1 of 6 siblings, and he's right in the middle, or he's number 3. They grew up in a little house, actually in Little Rock, on North Taylor Street, just north of War Memorial Stadium. And they lived, with their mom. Dad was an alcoholic. You know, it wasn't always the best of times when it came to money. And it's very important to show them that, you know, here's where I'm going with this is, you know, my father and his siblings and where they're at today and the success that they've had comes from that little house and their mother paving a way for them. And, you know, I think about that and, you know, almost get emotional here, about how my dad, raised me and where I'm at today and where I wouldn't, you know, be without him. And that all goes back to that little house on North Taylor Street, in Little Rock, Arkansas. And so, I'm very grateful, for my grandmother and the way that she raised, those 6 children. I'm very grateful for the way that my father raised me, and, that you can come from anything, humble beginnings, you know, however you want to talk about it, to get to where you want to go. It's just how hard are you willing to work and, you know, what, you know, how big's your heart and, you know, who do you want to be in life? And so, you know, that's just one little story, of that picture. So I have, you know, probably 7 or 8 picture frames around that each of them have a story to share, you know. And so I think it's important, again, just to show who you are and show that that you're going to, you know, that's helped you get to where you're at today.
Being able to share those personal stories and using a photograph, it's an interesting technique. I know as a teacher, when I was back in the classroom many, many years ago, that was one of the things I'd like to do when I was trying to teach writing is just show the kids a picture. Say, hey, tell the story. And I'm sure that as the kids come in and sitting on your desk and they're looking at the pictures and it becomes organic when they ask, hey, what's this a picture of? Or what's this? Why is this picture important to you? And it allows you to tell that story of your dad and where he grew up. And obviously then there's lessons that you can incorporate all throughout your interactions with your players. And to me, when you're doing that, now you're having an impact well beyond the basketball court, which I know is something that is important to you and that you've tried to have an effect on your kids' lives, not just as basketball players, but as human beings as well. And by opening yourself up and telling those stories and sharing, I think that gives you the opportunity to have a bigger impact with them both on and off the basketball court. So let's get back to on the court stuff moving forward. When you think about what you're going to do this summer and what you've done thus far in the spring, how much do you balance out individual skill development versus them getting up and down and playing 5-on-5 and starting to put things in that you're going to use next fall? Just where do you see the design of your summer program? What is that going to look like?
Yeah, so we've got a summer calendar all ready for the guys and kind of our plan of attack to get better. And for the month of May right now, we're lifting in the weight room and we're doing some team skill work. I would say that there's individual skill work involved within our team breakdown offensively and defensively. But it's ultimately building up to the team, and that's going into early June with we've got a few team camps that we're going to. We're going down to Ole Miss team camp in early June and to continue to grow as a team, and I think that trip will be a great trip, staying one night overnight in the dorms and hopefully continuing to build a team chemistry there. And we're coming back the next week and playing in a team camp at Hendricks College here. And it's in Conway, just north of Little Rock. And it's called the Big Red Team Camp. And it's a team camp that, is probably the best one in the state of Arkansas. A lot of the great teams within the state are in that team camp. And so another chance for us to go compete against other teams. And then, last couple weeks of June before the dead period, there's a 2-week dead period here in the state of Arkansas where, no contact and kids can't be on school campus, kind of give them those 2 weeks off. Those next 2 weeks will be where we focus. We're getting back on focus individually, and then when we come back from that 2-week dead period in early July, we'll really hit our weight program hard through July and into August. The second portion of that will be our skill development individually. We'll have a couple of summer league nights that we'll play, but for the month of July, it'll be a lot of individual things that they need to get better at for us, but ultimately for them and the things that they want to grow in. Again, everybody has a vision for themselves, and we want to help that become a reality. So that's kind of what the summer looks like within our program.
Moving from a public school to a private school obviously has an impact on how you develop younger players that are eventually going to be part of your high school program. And talk a little bit about the idea at a private school of being able to attract more players with the quality of what you're trying to do in your program. Obviously, you're in a public school. You are limited to the kids that live in your public school district. When you are at a private school, you have a wider reach to be able to draw student athletes from areas outside of the city in which your school resides. So just talk a little bit about how you plan to be able to be attractive to players, both from a school standpoint and a basketball standpoint. What do the conversations look like around that idea?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, number one is, you know, here in the state of Arkansas, there's very strict rules when it comes to recruiting. And obviously, you know, there's a stigma there that private schools all recruit, and you know, we're not going to get into the recruiting world. You know, obviously we've got guys that are going to be kind of homegrown within our private school as well, that they grow up through the school. It is a K-12, actually pre-K-12 school, and I believe it's the largest, if not, you know, top two largest private schools in the state of Arkansas. And so, so much to pull from. But yeah, I think private schools in general, just from the academic side, Little Rock Christian, the things that are offered academically, have a draw for students. And I think, you know, sometimes students, you know, might be a football player or a basketball player or whatever. And so, I think the school being, you know, being the number one thing that, and the academics are very, very rigorous, at Little Rock Christian. And so I think, parents really want to, help their students get where they want to go, in college and ultimately in their career. And so, you know, on the basketball side of it, again, we're just going to build our program and do it the way that we know is the right way to do it. And all those other things kind of take care of themselves. That's kind of the way that we're going to go about it.
What's been the most pleasant surprise that you've experienced since you've been there? Maybe something that you didn't expect and you're like, wow, this is even better than what I thought, or boy, I didn't expect that this would be in as good a shape. This is really going to help us. Has there been something that stands out in that respect?
Yeah, two things. One, within the school community itself, a very tight-knit community, you know, at Little Rock Christian, a very almost a small-town feel within the Little Rock Christian community with the parents and the teachers and the students and student athletes and coaches. And so, really the support, within the school and the program, I really think is going to be great. I think, we get this thing rolling and get those stands, rocking. And I think that it's an opportunity where, here at this school where that can absolutely happen. You know, it's not a thing where, you know, you're just going to have the parents there and some students. You know, I really think it's a community, and I think people will come out to be supportive of our young guys. And, and then, you know, on the basketball floor there's a lot of talent here. We've got, a wide range of talent. Again, I named, you know, Landrum Blocker is a junior for us that is going to be a heck of a player. And we have a senior, Ben Fox, who's another guy that is going to be a great player. Corliss Williamson Jr., Jamil Wesley II, you know, J.J. Andrews is a guy that's going into the ninth grade. And projects very highly. We've got guys that play, you know, on the EYBL teams, and we've got guys that play on local AAU teams, you know, and again, we've got a wide range, but a lot of talented kids. You know, I just named a few there, but we've got so many young, talented kids, you know, even in the 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. And then guys on our JV program that we know are talented, they're going to work hard and continue to get better to eventually play, you know, at the varsity level. And so, you know, I just really believe that the talent level within the program is in a good spot, and if not good, in a great spot, and will only continue to get better. And so, very excited about that, and excited about all these players, and just continuing to get to know them, and you know, just best serve them as we can.
Let's go back to the community piece and look at what you, as the head coach, as the face of the program, what can you do? What do you plan to do? What did you do at Russellville to try to engage the greater student body, the faculty, the members of, like, obviously in Russellville, you're talking about people who are community members who live in Russellville. With Little Rock Christian, it's a little bit different. You're talking about the school community rather than just specific within the city limits. But just how do you, as the head coach, how do you go about generating excitement about the program to get more people to come through the turnstiles on Friday night when you start playing next fall?
Yeah, I think there's a few things. You know, one, within our program, let's build those relationships. Two, on the outside, you know, the social media is a big part. Twitter, Instagram, all those things, you know, making sure that you're putting content out there for the community to see. And, you know, as the season gets closer, what that content looks like, whether it be, you know, kind of some, you know, beginning of the year pictures, a countdown towards the season, into, you know, a game graphic, you know, on game days, and, you know, all those things with social media. I think that's an important piece. And then I think, you know, within the school community is making sure that our faces are seen as coaches and players at other school events, whether that be football games or baseball games or, you know, anything, you know, band concerts, making sure that us as coaches are in the lunchroom talking to kids other than just our basketball players, and that we are entrenched in the school community. I think that garners support. And then ultimately winning basketball games, I think, continues to start that buzz, and people want to putting a great product out there on the floor, a team that people can get behind. And you know, I think that we have that with these players. We've got a bunch of players with high character that are good basketball players. And so just building that as it goes. And I think once we get to, you know, late first semester and then early second semester, I really think this community will come out and be very supportive for this team.
Looking ahead to the season, how are you going to define success come next March when the season ends and you look back? How are you going to define whether or not it was a successful season?
You know, I think that's a loaded question as well, but I go
for
back,
sure.
To,
for
you
sure.
know, there's you know, there's all different types of success. And, you know, I think to that, you know, the Last Dance documentary with Jordan, that, you know, leadership has a price, you know, winning has a price. And that's a lot of hard work between now and then, as far as winning goes. But the winning's going to come if we do all the other things correctly. That scoreboard takes care of itself. And that's a lot of hard work to be put in by our guys. And then, you know, I think too is just continuing to build a team. Are we a true team? You know, do we care about each other? Are we playing for each other? Are we playing for Warriors across our chest? We're the Little Rock Christian Warriors. Are we playing for the Warriors? Do we have a ton of pride in playing for that? And I know a team is successful by the last game of the season. And the last game of the season, whether you win or lose, if those guys are in that locker room with tears in their eyes, hugging each other, the whatever, then you've been successful. So a long story short there, I think that last locker room is how I see, hey, this journey, you know, I think it's very important to that process and journey to fall in love with it. And if you did, then that last locker room, you know, whether it's win or lose, is going to be tears and hugs and those things between everybody. And that's a special moment for sure.
That's a great definition of success. I think it really sums up what being a team is all about. And I love how you said, whether it's win or it's lose, when the season's over and everybody looks around the locker room and says, man, I wish this could keep going on. I wish it could go on forever. Then you know that you've done something right, regardless of what's happened on the scorebook. Because ultimately, look, we're all judged by wins and losses in some way, shape, or form by the outside public. But the reality is that the relationships you build, you and I both know that as athletes, as coaches, that when you look back on your experiences, you don't remember what the score was of every single game. You don't remember your record from every single season. What we do remember are those special moments that you had with your teammates or with your coaching staff. And that's really ultimately where you find what success is. And of course, if you do that well, I think it translates to wins and losses. It translates to those wins on the scoreboard. But ultimately, it's those memories and that relationships that really provide meaning to what we do. So when you think about that as your definition of success, in order to get there, and I'm sure you've thought about this, what are some of the roadblocks that could potentially derail you from getting to that success? When you think about what are the things that could potentially get in the way of you being able to get to that moment where you have that ultimate success?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, everybody... that word sacrifice comes back to my mind. Hearing you ask that question is everybody has to sacrifice something for the team to be great. That doesn't mean you're sacrificing shots necessarily off, you know, if you're a player. It doesn't always, when you hear the word sacrifice, you know, that makes all humans kind of take a step back a little bit, right? Because that's who we are as human beings, is it's hard to sacrifice, you know. And but I think, you know, this team coming together, sacrificing for each other, working for each other, those are things that need to happen. And again, that's a process. It takes a lot of time to get that. And so just being very intentional every day and, you know, making sure that we have the right guys in the right seat. And so I don't think as much about the things that derail as the things that can keep it on the rails. And I think, again, that's a growth mindset. That's a positive mindset. Definitely know the things that, you know, however you want to call it, selfishness, the me mentality, the focusing on all the wrong things, you know, outside noise getting in the team that, you know, that maybe telling guys the wrong things, you know. And so, again, that all comes back to, do we trust each other in this, you know, within this program? Do the players trust the coaches? The coaches trust the players. The coaches trust the coaches, and the players trust the players. And you know, I think that that's something that got to be very intentional with building each day. So that doesn't happen.
On a personal level, I'm going to ask you to self-evaluate, and you think about the personal characteristics of you as a person, as a coach. If you had to pick out one or two things about yourself that you feel have been critical to your success, what would those character traits be that you feel have allowed you to have success at Russellville and are going to allow you to have success moving forward at Little Rock Christian?
Yeah, I think there's three things that have been very pivotal in the success of our programs. That's one is having a positive growth mindset. You know, that's not a fake positivity. It's just, you know, are you taking a step forward? And then on a day that you're not, are you gonna punch that mouth and, you know, punch that day in the mouth the next day to take two steps forward? And, you know, having that positive outlook and having that growth mindset is very important to that. And then number two, I think, is trusting the people around you within your program. And some of that early on in a program is blind trust as the head coach, to be honest. And trusting people that they're going to do their jobs. And then number three is holding people accountable to doing their jobs. Players, coaches, and myself, you know, holding myself accountable, having the coaches hold me accountable, you know, and so I think those things are very, very important, to the success of the program. And then, lastly too is just, you know, building those relationships, building meaningful relationships with everybody within the program, being intentional about that and being true to yourself. You know, if there's anything that anybody needs to hear out here is be true to who you are. You've had so many people influence your life personally on a personal level. And then, you know, as a coach, you know what you want to be about and who you want to be true to yourself and let those things fall into place.
What's been the coolest part about having a former NBA player on your staff?
Man, you know, I'm still building a relationship with Corliss. He's a great guy. So much wisdom, not just in basketball, but man, you know, I got this staff where I've got these older guys, and I'm going to come back to your question, but it just reminded me, I've got these guys that are older than me on my staff, and, just their wisdom as dads, you know, like, you know, I've got two young children and just where they're at with their kids. And, you know, I try to soak up anything and everything. Again, I'm going to learn every day something from somebody. And so, that's been cool. But to get back to your question about Corliss, man, it's just, the ultimate professional, you know, shows up early, leaves late, you know, a guy that's going to do everything the right way, and an ultimate professional. Very blessed to have him a part of our program, and to you know, he not only played in the NBA, he coached in the NBA. You know, he coached. He was a head coach at Division I college basketball. He's done a lot, and so. Just blessed to have him in our program and just being able to, you know, bounce things off of him, you know, each day at the end of practice, just bouncing two or three things off of him has been great. And the same thing with our other guys. You know, I've got a lot of respect for our assistant coaches and who we have in place and all our coaches. And so bouncing things off those guys and letting them you know, again, each one of them is very important, and they play a vital role in the success of our program. And so, but yeah, for me personally, man, just being able to learn from them as well. You know, I hope they're learning things from me, and I'm definitely learning things from them as well.
What's brought you the most joy to this point?
I think there's two things. One, off the floor, is the way that everything's worked out, the way my wife is happy with the move, our family's happy with the move, how accommodating people have been to help us with this transition. You know, another God thing is just how quickly our house sold, how it sold. It's a whole nother story, and how we found the house here. You know, again, is when you know you're in the right place, things fall into place. And so, off the floor, just that part, and really helping ease the transition for me and my family. And then on the floor, watching these guys have little successes each day. And then help them see those things. You know, I think it's so easy for us as coaches to pinpoint the things we have to get better at. And that's a great part too, because that's our job. But, you know, letting these kids see their successes, even if it's a tiny step forward, and see them start to believe in themselves and then believe in the program that we're building. Man, it's fun to watch kids that light bulb start to come on. And, you know, in the last two or three weeks, I'm starting to see that, with these guys and their belief in each other, their belief in our coaching staff, and where we're headed. So, man, that gives me a ton of joy, and kind of fires me up tonight, you know, late at night. So, for sure, that's it.
Before we wrap things up, I want to give you an opportunity to share how people can find out more about your program, whether you want to share social media, email, website, whatever you feel comfortable with. And also, if there's anything about the transition that I didn't ask or that we didn't hit on that you wanted to make sure that you get in there, please go ahead and do that. And then after you go ahead and share, then I'll jump back in and wrap things up.
Yeah, for sure. You know, our program on Twitter is at LRCA_hoops. That is our Little Rock Christian Warrior Basketball Twitter page. My personal one is at AK Pennington. And, you know, just we always are sharing things about our program, sharing things about our players. You know, it's a big part of the recruiting process now is social media and making sure we're getting content out there. And, you know, obviously see some of the things that we're doing and how we promote those things within our program. You know, and then me personally too, if you ever want to email me, my email is kyle.pennington@littlerockchristian.com. Again, want to help grow this game any way I can. And I want to grow myself, more within the game. So, always love to connect with people. You know, coach told me a long time ago that ball has magic in it. And the place it'll take you and the people that you will meet and come in contact with, you know, it's amazing. And so, you know, I'm always willing to share, and I'm always an ear to listen and learn myself. So, you know, that's how you contact us or our program or me. And for sure, excited about this. Thank you again for having me on for this second time. Hope this was insightful for people as far as kind of a transition and how it works. You know, with you know, our story and how that's worked for us at this point. And again, can't thank you guys enough at Hoopheads, what you do to grow this game. And you know, excited hopefully to come on and share some more success from Little Rock Christian in the future.
Appreciate those kind words. It's certainly something that we take our responsibility and our privilege to be able to share We don't take that lightly. So thank you for those kind words. It's fun to have you as a member of our Two Timers Club and being able to be a part of that and have you back on and just learn a little bit more about what you've been able to do in this transition from one coaching job to another. We know it's a spot that a lot of coaches will be in at some point in their career, going from one program to another. And I think you provided a lot of insight as to how to go about doing that and just some ideas for coaches to think about as they transition from one job to another. So again, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time out of your schedule to jump on with us, to share with our audience, and to just let people know what it is that you've been trying to do and how you've gone about making the transition. So thank you. And to everyone out there, we appreciate you listening, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.